I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Every day of our life, all through the day, everything that goes on, we have a choice of what we focus on. You can focus on the problem, or you can focus on God. You can focus on yourself, your shortcomings, your inadequacies, or you can focus on the grace of God and the power of the blood. Right? I mean, you got a choice as to what you look at, what you listen to, what you think about. And the reason we have a faith school is to come together and, with the Lord's help, put our focus on thus saith the Lord. It is written what He said. That's the source of our faith. It comes by hearing what He said. So get your Bible out. Get something to make a note with. Turn off everything else. Give the Lord your full attention for these next few minutes, and you will get help. Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking You for the utterance, the anointing, the grace, the strength, the direction, the help, as only You can give it. You are our God. We are Your people. We worship You, and we thank You for keeping us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. Something you need every day of your life. Provision. Something to eat, something to wear, place to sleep and stay, a way to get around. And as you have a family or church or ministries or business or businesses, you need more and more provisions for all that. And if you're not sure that it's God's will for you to be abundantly provided for, you can't have faith for it. If you're wondering, if you're entertaining the idea that God might use lack or poverty to teach you things, to develop you, you can't have faith to stand against the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When the thief is coming to steal from you, you'll throw up your hands and go, yeah, but is God teaching me something through all this? You don't know what to resist and what to receive. And that's because of the ignorance of the Word and not knowing God well enough. But what we're showing one by one is 30 reasons from the Scriptures why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why don't you say that out loud? Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Another time. Abundant provision is always God's will for me. For me. Every day, every week, every month, God doesn't change. Amen. Huh? Amen. If He ever wanted somebody to be abundantly provided for, He still wants people to be provided for. And He's no respecter of persons. And so 30 reasons from Scripture, and we have gone one by one now down to number 16. We started number one with, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the rest of that verse says, "I shall not want." Other verses in the same King James says, "I don't lack." The word's translated lack, just like it is want. I shall not lack. Then we looked at, you know, the Lord, His goodness, the goodness of God. We looked at the fatherhood of God. Is God a good father?
Yes, yes.
Does he take care of his family?
Yes.
We looked at the creation of God. You know, if God likes broke and bare and bleak, the Garden of Eden would have been bleak and bare. It wasn't. We looked at God's will in heaven. You know, if God likes minimalist, then heaven would not have streets of gold, right? It would not have walls made out of jewels. Mm-mm. Isn't that extravagant? Talk to God about it. We talked about the God of Abraham. What kind of God did Abraham know? If he was here today and we asked him questions about God, and we said, you know, do you think, Abraham, that God wants people to be poor sometimes? He would say, the God I knew made me rich.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well, has he changed? Has he changed? We talked about us being the seed of Abraham and how that according to the New Testament, those of us who have faith in Christ, the blessing of Abraham has come to us and belongs to us and is on us. Well, then, whatever the blessing did for Abraham when he was alive and on the earth, that blessing does the same thing today.
Yes.
It hasn't changed. And then we talked about the blessing of tithing, how the Lord said, if you'll tithe and honor him, that he would open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing on you until you didn't have room to contain it, and he would rebuke the devourer for your sake. Does that sound like being broke?
No.
I mean, if the windows of heaven are open and he's pour out until you don't have room, that's not lack,
no.
Right? And the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, if he's rebuked and stopped on your behalf, then that means instead of gaining and losing and gaining and losing, you just keep gaining and gaining.
Yes.
Sound good to anybody?
Yes.
And we talked about, you know, how that honor and riches go together, how that wisdom and wealth go together. We talked about being an imitator of God. He's the greatest giver there is. And in order to give, you got to have resources. We talked about him being the great I am and not the I was. Right? We talked about the great names of God. We saw names like, you know, El Shaddai. We saw names like the Most High God, El Elyon. We saw names like, you know, the Lord our Shepherd, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and provides. We could not find an El Cheapo, or, right? We couldn't find, right? Nothing that would indicate a God who is tight or cheap or wants you and I to be that way. No, he's the great El Shaddai. God who's more than enough. We talked about God being the God of restoration, about how even if you've really messed up and you've given access to the thief in your life, and if you've been destroyed and if you've lost all kind of things, God is a God that if you'll repent and come back to him, he'll restore you. And not just get you back to where you were, better than before. Do you believe he's that good of a God? The God of restoration. We talked on the 15th reason about how the Lord provided for his people in the wilderness, in the most desolate of places, showing that it doesn't matter where you are, what your circumstances or environment or surroundings are, God can provide for you abundantly anywhere.
Yes.
I mean, when there was nothing in that barren desert, God brought bread out of the sky. He brought water out of the rock. Is that right?
Yes.
He brought food in, fluid in,
yes.
Right? For the fresh quail and all that. We saw that the ravens brought the man of God food. God can provide anywhere.
Amen.
Don't believe the lies of the enemy about where you are, where you live, the current political situation or the current situation in the economy or with your company or school or whatever that is. If you listen to that, you'll let the enemy talk you out of provision. But if you'll believe God, you'll say that none of that matters. God doesn't meet my needs according to what's going on in my city. He meets my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Everybody said out loud, my God,
does supply
all my needs
according to His riches
in glory
by Christ Jesus.
His riches are inexhaustible. They cannot be depleted. They are in glory, where they are untouched by, confused men or the enemy or the devil and his crowd. Our God is unlimited and unfailing, and He always takes care of me.
Amen.
How about you?
Yes.
I want you to say it out loud because you believe it. Say, I will always
eat well,
wear well,
live well,
drive well.
I will always
be abundantly supplied because the Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
Hallelujah. I'll not be in want. I'll not be in lack, like other translations said. So that brings us down to our current reason, and that is we are sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the promised land. The promised land. That's number 16 in our study. The promised land is called by more than one name. It's called the promised land because God made a promise to Abraham that He would give him this area of land, also called Canaan land, also called the good land, also called the pleasant land, also called the land that flows with milk and honey. Well, that was God's will for His people and still is His will for His people. What about all His people?
Yes.
What kind of place does God want you to live in? You know, He taught us to pray. The Master taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So God doesn't have two different wills. One will for heaven and a different will for the earth. Well, how does He want you to live in heaven? Did He say, in my Father's house are many efficiencies? Many pup tents. No. Mansions. So you can't argue that God's will in heaven is mansions. Now, if you look that word mansion up, it really gets better. It has to do with the idea of a manor, which is a landed estate.
Yes.
And so this idea of, you know, cookie cutter McMansions along a street that all look the same, maybe with some white columns, you know, that's just, you know, people's idea, religious idea. I heard a man say one time that he had been involved in an incident where he fell off the top of a tall structure and actually hit the sidewalk below. And he died. And the EMTs came and they said that he was dead for some period of time. But they got him back. And when they got him back, he recovered. He said he went to heaven. And they told him how long he'd been dead, and it was should have been too long for him to have any brain function later, but God restored him. And he said that the Lord showed him his place in heaven. And he said He called it His abode. The Lord called it His abode. And if you look up the words there in John 14, that's the word. It's the word abode. And then it's translated what mansions and, like we said, manor. But he said he was ecstatic. He said he had real estate. He said he had room. And he said there were things that similar to some things he had had on earth, but so much better. And then there are things that he had never imagined, but when he saw them, it's just exactly what he liked. And he said, the Lord looked at him and smiled and said, I know what each of my children like, and I custom build their abodes for them. Is that true? I mean, that's just another way of saying, I go to prepare a place for you, right? He didn't prepare it for somebody else. That place is prepared for you. He said, I know what each of my children like, and I custom build each of their abodes for them. Hallelujah. I mean, that's enough reason to go to heaven, right? Right? And there are many, many more. And shouldn't we be telling everybody around us that'll listen, you want to get saved? Yes. Huh? You do not want to miss heaven. You do not want to reject Jesus. The only way to live with God forever is to receive the gift of salvation, the gift of Jesus himself. Yes. We don't know who's watching. We don't know who's joining us. So everybody, affirm or reaffirm your faith. It doesn't matter unless you say it from your heart, but because you believe it and because you choose to, say it out loud. No matter where you are, say it out loud right now. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I believe in your Son Jesus.
I believe in your Son Jesus.
That he did come and die on the cross and paid the price for all my sins. Was judged in my place. And I do believe you have raised him from the dead, and he is alive right now. King of kings, Lord of lords, soon to come again. Jesus, I receive you and all you have done for me.
I confess you,
Lord, over me and over my life.
Thank you
for saving me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you meant that and you did that from your heart, they're working on your place too. Hallelujah. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And maybe you can show me around your place later. Right? I can show you around mine. We should have plenty of time to do it. This is not a fairy tale. This is wonderful beyond words. Well, what we were talking about is, if that's God's will for you in heaven, does he enjoy seeing you broke here? Well, see, his will never changes. If he wants you broke, then there's no need in you rushing to heaven. Huh? Because his will is unhindered there. Huh? And if it's his will for you to be broke here, you'll be broke there. Now people shake their head and go, no, no. Well, then if it's not his will there, it's not his will here. You can't have it both ways. He said, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And so God's will was that they have a promised land that was outstanding. A land that flowed with milk and honey. And we're going to see it's a land of no lack. Yes. Does that sound good to anybody?
Yes.
A land of no lack. Now, go with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, 23rd verse. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. Now, this is a great phrase. We'll see this again. But he brought us out that he might bring us in. Mm-hmm. He didn't just bring us out to leave us in limbo. Or just bring us out and that's the end. Like we had said in last week's study, if minimalism is God's will, if he likes to see that you don't have anything extravagant or expensive or excessive, only just enough, then when he got them out of Egypt and got them into the wilderness, he would have said, you're home. Right? In the desert. In the why? Because that's how they were living, was just enough. You remember that without the miracles, they would have starved to death. They would have perished from thirst and from hunger. Wouldn't have taken long. But because God rained bread out of the sky and brought water out of the rock, they were sustained. And because of their disobedience, it took way longer than it should. God sustained them for 40 years. But the bread that came, when they would go out to gather it, the manna, the Bible said, he that gathered little, he had no lack. And he that gathered much, he didn't have any excess. So it was just right, just enough. But was that God's ultimate plan for them?
No.
It was not. And it's still not.
Amen.
Huh?
Right.
Just enough
No. Is
not God's perfect will.
Right.
It's not God's plan. Well, we're making it. We're getting by. Well, you're in the wilderness. You're wilderness living. Yeah, you are. Which is better than being in Egypt. Right? Better than being in Egypt. But God had another level. Oh, come on. He had another level. He has another level. Today. All these things are types and shadows of what we have now in Christ. And what you'll see is the progressiveness of it. You know, we live by faith, we walk by faith, and it's supposed to be from faith to faith, to faith, to faith. Coming up, seeing more, believing more, receiving more. Exodus 6 says it like this. You don't have to turn there, but Exodus 6, verse 7, he said, the Lord said, I'll take you to me for a people. I'll be to you a God, and you'll know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in unto the land. Concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. He said, I'm bringing you out from under the burdens and oppression. Is that right? The bondage. And I'm bringing you into the land that flows with milk and honey. Now what he did, which was necessary, on purpose, he was bringing them through the wilderness to learn some valuable, essential faith lessons. How to listen to God. How to obey God. He did it on purpose. But they weren't supposed to be there 40 years. They weren't supposed to be there 10 years. They were supposed to be there probably a few months. Not much. And learn some things. This is not my idea. I'm quoting from Deuteronomy 8 and 11. And some of it's in 6 here as well. That God said he wanted to see that they would listen to him. Well, they failed the test. It didn't go good. But why is that necessary? Because everything in life is going to come back to you whether or not you listen to God. There's no situation you can get in that God can't fix if you listen to him. But if you won't listen to him, if you harden your heart and you stiffen your neck and you're rebellious and defiant, you can get in a place where God himself can't help you. Now, that's a giant statement. I know it is. Somebody said, well, I don't accept that. Well, then you don't accept scriptures. Because the Bible says, you know, he that is reproved repeatedly and yet hardens his heart, he'll be destroyed suddenly without remedy. That means there is no fixing it. Why would there be no fixing it? Because for God to fix it, He would have to override your will and force you to obey Him. He's not going to do that. So you have put yourself in a place where God Himself can't help you. Can you see that or not? But it doesn't matter. You could have been so crazy and so rebellious and so sinful and everything else if you'll fall on your face, if you will repent, if you will mean business with God and ask Him to forgive you, grace and help will flow to you. He will lift you. He will restore you. There's nothing He can't fix. If you'll repent.
Yes.
If you'll repent. And so that's what he was saying. But his plan was always out of Egypt.
Yes.
Through the wilderness.
Yes.
Into the promised land.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And this is a type for all of us today.
Mm-hmm.
What's his will? What's God's will? Out of being lost.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Out of spiritual death. And bondage. And then what? You need to learn how to walk by faith.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Learn how to believe God. Learn how to hear from God.
Yes.
Learn how to obey God.
Yes.
Learn how to trust Him.
Yes.
When you can't see how it could work.
Yes.
When you don't understand.
Yes.
And know He's got your best interest in heart and mind.
Yes.
He's got you on your way.
Yes.
To somewhere. Hallelujah.
Yes.
If you just keep following Him.
Yes.
He's taking you to the good land.
Yes.
He's taken you to the pleasant land that flows with milk and honey. Come on, say it out loud. He brought me out to bring me in. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And in between there is bringing you through.
Yes.
He brings you out. He brings you through. He brings you up into.
Yes.
Woo, glory to God. And this life is not the end. This is the shortest thing we'll ever do. If we're faithful in listening to Him, past this life, we really go up.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We really come up into having a place in His kingdom.
Yes.
Where we rule and reign.
Yes.
With Him forever.
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go ahead and say it out loud. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For bringing me out.
Bringing me out of
darkness.
Out of spiritual death.
Thank you for bringing me through.
Through
the dry places.
Through the challenge places.
And thank you for bringing me up.
Into
the good land.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, our time's up again today. Say it like we do. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. A lot more to see about this next time. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.